I've titled the message today, How to Invest and Take Your Inheritance. How to Invest and Take Your Inheritance. And I'm going to cover three things. I am not going to have them one then after the other like that. It's all going to be, it will cover these three things. Let me put it that way. Number one, you have an inheritance, and this inheritance has nothing to do with your natural heritage. Right? You have an inheritance, and it has nothing to do with your natural background. It has got nothing to do with who your mom is, who your dad is, which political party you subscribe to, wherever. It doesn't. Which tribe you are coming from, all that doesn't matter. There's an inheritance that is separate from all that. Number two, there is a way to access your inheritance. It's a God way. Actually, Jesus is the way. Amen? So there is a way to that inheritance. And number three, I want to emphasize, there are methods and practical adjustments that you need to make in order to possess your inheritance. Amen. So there are practical things that you need to start doing so that you can possess your inheritance. That inheritance is there, but for it to manifest in your life, there are certain practical adjustments that you will do. So we'll start with Psalm 16 from verse 5 to 8. This is the New King James Version. It says, O Lord, let's read it together. O Lord, you are the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You maintain my lot. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good inheritance. I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, I wake up, I read that scripture, I want to start jumping. I say, I have an inheritance. And it's a good inheritance. My boundaries have fallen in pleasant places. Hallelujah. I can say, look at me. I got an inheritance. It's got nothing to do with how things look like. This is the word of God. Do you believe the word of God? So if God tells you you have an inheritance, you should get excited. Say, I need to focus. I need to focus my life. I'm not just aimlessly thrown into this world to figure out things by myself. There is something very specific that God has set aside for me. It is my portion, not your portion. I don't want no man's portion. I don't want Joshua's portion. I don't want your portion. I want my portion. So I have no conflict. When I wake up in the morning, I'm not fighting anyone. Why should I fight them? They have their portion. I got my portion. Do you know a lot of fighting in this world, in families, in companies, in organizations, is because you think the other one is getting yours. So you have to fight for it. But if you knew, I got my portion, my boundaries, hallelujah. Jesus has marked out my portion. So I have peace. Hallelujah. You may look like you are coming against me. I can look at you and think, you cannot have my portion. You go search for your portion. I have good inheritance. Hallelujah. And Jesus knows where the beacons are. Praise the Lord. You know, in Nairobi, there are these small plots you people have. One beacon is there, the other one is there. Move out of this city. You find one beacon here. You have to take a Land Rover to drive to see the other beacon. So God knows where the beacons are. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, God knows where my beacons are. Hallelujah. I have an inheritance. Amen. And you need, we are cautioned here in Hebrews 12, I think verse 8. Is that Hebrews 12? It talks about Hebrews 12, verse 16. Make sure that no one is immoral or godless like Esau. He traded his birthright as the old son for a single meal. Hallelujah. Do you know what they gave him? Some beans, some lentils. And he gave up his inheritance. Say, I'm not doing that. I'm telling you, the devil has a bowl of beans he's always tempting you with. Saying, eat this maharagwe. You are hungry. No. I'm not compromising my life. Hallelujah. I am focused on what? A good inheritance. So, and it says here, even in the night seasons. Isn't that amazing? Even in the night seasons, I dream about my inheritance. When I am going to sleep, I'm thinking about how good God is, how he loves me, how he gave his life for me. So I'm not depressed. It doesn't matter what has happened in the day, I can go to sleep. So thankful that God is taking care of my boundaries. Doesn't matter who threatened me during the day. Doesn't matter who said what during the day. Even in the night season, I'm so thankful. Said, God, you know where the boundaries are. You know they cannot take it from me. I am so thankful. Somebody say amen. Amen. And then in 1 Peter 1, 3 to 4, and then verse 21, I'm emphasizing that you have an inheritance. 1 Peter 3 and 4, then verse 21. Blessed, let's read this together again. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, according to his abundant mercy, has begotten us. Us is who? Us is you and me. Again, all right? Again, to a what? A living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Verse 4. To an inheritance and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Isn't that good news? That Jesus' death and resurrection, as long as I believe that Jesus died and rose from the dead, I can wake up every day with great hope that my inheritance cannot be corrupted. I don't care which government of Israel, and I'm not saying all of them are corrupt, because there are some here and they are not. So what you're saying here, it is that it doesn't matter how corrupt the place is. My portion cannot be corrupted, cannot be defiled, and it does not fade away, because it's coming to me from heaven. Amen. And no matter how powerful they are, they can't reach there. You understand that? So there are worldly maneuvers and angling and pushing and shoving that is happening in this world. My portion is intact. Praise the Lord. So when you say it is in heaven, I am seeing it here, but my protection is coming from heaven. So why should I be worried? Why should I grow weary? Amen. And so, again, verse 21, we didn't get to verse 21, because it repeats this hope, this issue of hope. Let's go to 1 Peter. Please move a bit faster. Quite a couple of scriptures. The person moving there is media team. 1 Peter 1:21. All right. I think they have lost it. Okay. Who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. So, the resurrection of Jesus. Do you believe Jesus is raised from the dead? Yes. Then you should never be hopeless in any situation. The fact that Jesus rose from the dead is the anchor of my hope. No matter what I'm facing, no matter what anyone says, no matter how circumstances look like, my portion, the security that I have in life, that is why I have faith, that's why I have hope, is because Jesus is raised from the dead. And then again in Romans 8, 16 to 17 says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Can somebody please check what is it with the media team? I really need the scriptures to be projected. Is everything working okay? So, the Spirit in me, the Spirit of God, bears witness with my spirit, first that I'm a child of God. If you remember 1 Peter 1, 1 to 3, says he has begotten us again to a living hope, because Jesus is resurrected from the dead. And so, in this other scripture here, what we are seeing is that because I'm a child of God, I become a child of God, then I have this inheritance. We already covered this. Please go to Romans 8. Romans 8, 16 to 17. So, joint heirs. Somebody say joint heirs. Here's the thing with joint heirship. Joint heirship. We are this, all right, 17. All right, you see that? Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Let me elaborate a bit there. Joint heirship, have you ever been to Kisi? Any one of you? All right, okay. Some are raising their hands, but it's okay. All right, okay. Oh, you are Mukisi. It's all right. The first time I passed through that land of blessed people, Wakisi, I thought we have arrived at Kisi town. Somebody told me, no, this is not even the Periaban. This is the rural part of it. I said, what is it with these people? They can't disperse a bit because next to them, they are the Karenjins with huge tracts of land. Then the Maasais with huge tracts of land. Then the Luos with huge tracts of land. But these Kisi brothers, they are sitting on top of one another. Not really. But I mean, the plots are small. The first man split his, then they split there. So all of them have been splitting this thing until you are like, wow, this is the town. They said, no. You have not arrived in Kisi town yet. Now, that is actually also the part of Muranga around here. It's the same. I mean, people packed. What happened? You've been splitting a portion, so everyone has been what? Getting there. So this thing has been cut until now. There's hardly any place for somebody. I don't know where the next generation will be positioned in that place. Joint heirship does not require this splitting. In joint ownership, we all have it. So what you have, I have. The whole lot of it. It's not you are cut towards, now if you cross my boundary, we fight. No, what Jesus got, you also got. Do you understand what I'm talking about? That the portion we are talking about is the portion that was given to Jesus. And you've come in as a joint heir. So it was not spread, and you are given a small bit, and Daniel was given a small bit, and Caleb was given a small bit, and the other person was given a small bit. Now all these things is spread all over the place. No, ours is a better deal. We are joint heirs with who? Jesus. That is the exciting part about this inheritance. Forgive me, people from Kisi, but I'm telling you, the portion of God is big. There are no limitations. Because Jesus is not limited. So we are not fighting at a corner somewhere. We are taking the whole lot. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody say that excites me. Praise the Lord. And then in Colossians 1:12-14 says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. There it goes again. Wow. Tell your neighbor, how many times do you need to hear to believe you have an inheritance? How many scriptures do you need from me? Are you now convinced you have an inheritance? Because if you haven't seen it this far, I might as well let you go. Giving thanks to the Father who has done what? Qualified us. So it is not what you qualify for. It is what he has qualified you for. That word qualified means God has made you competent. Remember Pastor Kara teaching about the double, saying it comes with the what? The talent to achieve it. God is not setting you up without giving you the mental, emotional capacity, the qualifications to get what he has gotten for you. Amen? So he has qualified us through what? The death and resurrection of who? Jesus Christ. When we got born again, we were qualified into an inheritance. And this is an inheritance we have jointly with Jesus and all the saints. All right, let's go to the next verse. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Verse 14, let's read it together. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Do you believe your sins are forgiven? Yes. Tell your neighbor, then it also came with an inheritance. Yeah, so you weren't just forgiven. It came with what? An inheritance. A spiritual inheritance that we can start seeing in our day. Hallelujah. And we know from 1 Peter 1 verse 4 that inheritance cannot be defiled. It does not fade away. Only you can refuse to take a hold of it. This one is saying there is no power of Satan that can stop you from taking possession of your inheritance. Unless the devil compromises you with alternatives, inferior alternatives, a bowl of beans, that is what God is. So if you don't have a revelation of this inheritance, then you're in danger of compromise. But when you know you have this inheritance and it's not limited, then you will have the spiritual capacity to keep fighting to see the kingdom of God manifest in your personal life. Praise the Lord. Jesus takes it very personally when we kind of, you know, behave as if we got nothing. He takes it really. It's a, you know, when let me put it this way. When you come under attack, Jesus' inheritance is under attack. Remember Saul, when he was persecuting the church, Jesus said, Saul, Saul, why are you doing what? Persecuting me. Because what you got is what he gave you. It is his and it is yours. He takes it personally. Do you understand why you should be healed and enjoy good health? Because he paid for it. It's as much his inheritance as it is your inheritance. So don't let it go. Praise the Lord. So when we pray for sick people, when we minister to people like what was happening on Sunday, last Sunday here, all we are doing is letting Jesus have what he already paid for. All we are doing is letting you take what has already been paid for through the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. 2 Kings 2, verse 9 to 10. This Pastor Kara ministered on this quite a bit. 2 Kings chapter 2, 9 and 10. I think she read it three or two services that were here. And so it was when they had crossed over that Elijah said to Elisha, ask, what may I do for you before I'm taken away from you? Elisha said, let's read it together. Please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. So, Elijah is about to leave the world. Elisha was his disciple. He was his student. All right? And they come to this point that they know this man is leaving. They didn't know how. I'm not sure that the Bible doesn't say they knew how he will leave, whether he will just drop dead or something. I mean, it wasn't. Remember, the chariot had not come and taken him. So this conversation they're having here, they don't know how this whole thing is going to end. As far as they are concerned, everybody who has been on this earth, they died and they were buried. So I don't think they knew exactly what will happen next. But now this man is saying, do you need anything from me? It's like, do you want to inherit anything from me? Now, some of you, this is where you have to be careful. They would have said, I want your members. I want your, what is in the tithe account? Give me the M-Pesa pin. Don't go with the M-Pesa pin, my brother. So I'm making light of it. But this man said, I want what? A double portion of your spirit or the anointing on your life. Praise the Lord. And I don't know whether you ever thought about this very carefully. If you came to me, if Deacon Joga came to me and I said, Deacon Joga, I'm leaving and I'm holding this gadget here. And he said, okay, don't live with that. Give me that. That would be easy, isn't it? I can give that to you. But can you imagine a situation where he said, I want two of those? Hey, boss, I have this. You want two of them? Where am I supposed to get two of them from? Do you understand why he said? Part of the reason he said, this is hard. Because if I'm leaving, I can give you what I have. But if you want to, brother, what? It's like you go and you say, we want, my father had a house. He died. We want two houses. Where are they going to get two houses for you from? You get what the guy is going, has left. Now you want what? Twice. Remember what Deacon Yvonne was talking about, limitations. In the spirit realm, these limitations are not there. In this natural world, there are all these limitations. But in the spirit realm, you can get your double portion. If I were you, I'd get more excited than you are looking like. Because in the space we are talking about, remember Pastor Kara said, this double anointing is for what? For hard things. It's for the stuff you've been told is not possible. It's for the stuff you've been told praise and choir team, that can never happen. It's the stuff that you've been told coming from your tribe, that is not possible. It's the stuff you've been told no one from your clan can be able to do that. The double anointing is for the hard things that you can do, you cannot do for yourself, and neither can anyone do it for you. Because Elijah loved Elisha, and he asked him, what do you want? Have you ever thought the things that Elijah, with the anointing he had accomplished? That man walked to State House, I'm paraphrasing. He said, Mr. President, there will be no rain here until me, I say so, and walked off. That is the anointing he carried. They looked for him for 3.5 years. Finally, they caught hold of him, and he said, it's going to rain. Then the man took off. The king had the best chariots, horses. That man took off, overtook them, and got to State House ahead of them. I mean, this man carried an anointing. He would say, if I'm a man of God, let fire come from above and burn you. and 50 people, boom. And here is Elijah saying, I want twice that. I want twice. That man was hungry. You mean to say, I am hungry? You have to be hungry for the anointing. You have to, this inheritance, you got to say, I'm going for the top. Praise the Lord. Can I prophesy over your life? They have limited you for too long. But today you are breaking loose. You know there is more. Hallelujah. And it's by the power of God that you can get it. Say, if Elisha got a double, I can get a double portion. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You need to get excited. Hallelujah. This is the word of the Lord. Pastor Kara spent Sundays here talking about what? The double. The double. It's coming with the capability, the talent, the competence, the qualifications. Maybe you've been limited by your qualifications. Maybe you didn't go beyond whatever level of education. You say, no, right now I got the qualifications. Praise the Lord. Because it's God who qualifies you. You got to start with, I have an inheritance. That inheritance is mine through Christ Jesus. And I'm going to claim it. And I am not going to be limited by anything. I want what? I want what? Number. Next time you go to a hotel where they say, do you want the double or single? You say, double. I'm done with the single stuff. I want what? Double. It's available. There are no limitations here. Praise the Lord. And so, this case of Elijah and Elisha is quite interesting because in Exodus, let's see, Exodus 23 verse 1 says, you shall not, I've shared this before, it says, you shall not circulate a false report. Do not put your hand with the wicked to be an unrighteous witness. And you want to say, I am a witness of the double. Anything else in my life is false witness. Jesus paid too much for me to continue with a false narrative that I've been defeated, that this is the end, that this is the best in my life. I'm going for the, come on, say it with confidence. I'm going for the double. I'm going for the double anointing. Because Jesus, everything else in my life, I refuse it to bear false witness. I'm a true witness of the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. I really enjoy Exodus 20 and 23, really. All of it is so wonderful. But let's go to verse 20. Exodus 23, verse 20. Behold, I send an angel before you to keep you in the way and to bring you into the place which I have prepared. So let me pause there. What is happening to Israel? They are about to go into Canaan. Canaan is their what? Inheritance. Agreed? And he's saying the way, remember I told you three things. You have an inheritance. Now we are coming to, there is a way to get into that inheritance. So in this inheritance, he says, I am sending an angel before you. Now that word angel, you can see it's in capital letters. That's the Holy Spirit. That's the Spirit of God. Okay. Now let's go to verse 21. Beware of him and obey his voice. Do not provoke him, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. Verse 22, but if you indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I'll be an enemy to your enemies and an adversary to your adversaries. For my angel will go before you and bring you into the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, and I'll cut them off. So, a couple of things there. So, today, what I know, I have the Holy Spirit.
Praise the Lord.
He is leading me to my inheritance. The number one job of the Holy Spirit is to reveal to me Jesus. All right? The Holy Spirit does not magnify himself. He magnifies Jesus. All right? And so, first of all, you need to, let me give you some scriptural references here. If you look at Romans, let me see. Romans, we did go through that. Let me, Romans 8:14. We read 16 and 17, but 14 says, for as many as are led by what? The Spirit of God, these are what? The sons of God. So, if I want to know where my inheritance is, I am cooperating with the Holy Spirit, because I'm a son. I want my inheritance. He is the one who knows where the beacons are, so he is the one leading me, all right? And Jesus, and I said, the Holy Spirit reveals Jesus, because you know Jesus said in John 14:6 that he is a what? I am the way, the truth, and the life. To what? To the inheritance. No one comes to the Father except through me. No one comes to partake of what the Father has already provided without what? Jesus. So Jesus is the way. And what we have today is the Holy Spirit, who is leading us through Jesus to what we already have. Again, Romans 3, 7 to 8. These are important references. Revelation 3, 7 and 8. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia, write these things, says he who is holy, he who is true. Can you see the next phrase there? Can we read it together? He who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. Let's go ahead. I know your works. See, I have said, let's read it together. I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it, for you have a little strength and have kept my word and have not denied my name. So who has the key to your inheritance? Jesus. So there is a way to your inheritance, and it is through what? Jesus. We are to be led by the Holy Spirit every step of the way. Praise the Lord. Now, this link it up again to 1 Peter 1, from verse, I think it was 1, 3, and 4. And you remember, you see, this inheritance is incorruptible. It is cannot fade away. It cannot be defiled. And so, when a door has been opened for you, and you read scriptures like this, so what are we talking about? We are coming to this point where you and me are not, this is no longer our testimony. God opened a door, but so-and-so stopped it. Have you ever heard people talking like that? If it is true that Jesus had opened the door, then it is impossible for a man to stop it. You need to walk with this revelation. Earlier this year, I made a presentation to some people, and they said, leave us with this stuff. We will be presenting it to these other people, and then if they approve, we'll get back to you. As I was heading out, I was a little bit down. Like, I wish they would tell me to come and make a presentation. Because now, if I tell you something, I don't know what you are going to tell the other fellow. I would rather be the one presenting. And so, as I was ascending to the lift, the voice of the Lord came to me. And the Holy Spirit said, Frank, don't worry about that. The other meeting, I'll be there. I said, praise the Lord. I started dancing around, saying, pray, thank God that is taken care of. Jesus, we have to be aware of the Holy Spirit. In every meeting where you go, in every situation, the best thing you can do is to practice the presence of the Lord. and know that once he has opened a door, no one can shut it. Stop using the word a reasonable condition as a hiding place for unbelief. Let me see how to put this. You know, we are dealing with reality, isn't it? You come to a situation, this is what it is. It's reasonable. It's varied. This is the doctor's report, right? This is the letter they gave me. This is what they said. I don't know anyone there. That's real. But that is not a reason for unbelief. It's not a reason for unbelief. Was Goliath big? Was the whole army running away from him? Did that stop David? Was it reasonable to look at Goliath and say, that guy can wipe you out? Was it reasonable? If you ran away from Goliath in fear, was that reasonable? Yes. It was reasonable. If you use that as a reason for your unbelief, then you are abandoning your inheritance. The path to the kingship for David was Goliath. The secret route to the treasures of faith is the presence of challenges. I'll repeat that again. The secret route to the treasures of faith and your inheritance is in God is through the presence of your enemies. So when you come across a situation, you got to believe that miracles are birthed in the face of varied and reasonable opposition. It's fair. Listen, I had Bishop T.D. Jakes say some years back, Christians are always running around saying it's not fair. It's not fair. It's not fair. See, it is not fair. It's a fight. It's a fight. Do you notice from Exodus chapter 23 that God is leading them to a land? The land is not vacant. Who are in there? Perizzites, Canaanites, all manner of what? Ites. Some Christians behave like the promise of God is you'll walk into a vacant possession. No. Tell your neighbor there is a fight. Hallelujah. Not Exodus. You know Psalms 23 verse 5. What does it say? Psalms 23 verse 5. You prepare a table before me in what? Is that in your Bible? Where is your table? In the presence of your enemies. Then it says what? You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Hallelujah. So the anointing of the double will deal with every enemy in the land as long as I keep my mind and my heart on Jesus. Hallelujah. Notice he did not tell them, I am going to arm you with my favorite weapon. It's called what? Bazooka. Have you ever heard of the word bazooka? I mean, that thing sounds bazooka. Yeah, that's like that. Somebody's coming for you with a bazooka. That's not what he said. He said, you're going into this territory, I'm going to give you a bazooka. No, he says, you be aware of my presence. You be aware of the presence of the Holy Spirit. You be aware that Jesus the Lord said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'll be with you always. So I can now step into the hard things with an assurance God will deliver me. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He is not sending you for judo classes and karate. My goodness, when we were in university, there were so many of those things. We used to go there so you can learn to protect yourself. But God saying, all you need to do is be aware of my presence. I will deal with the enemies. I will deal with the opposition. You know, when you buy land in Kenya, I don't know about you, but there's few pros are brought. They say, once you pay the deposit, go there and put something and wait whether there is somebody who will come and say, Iniangu. Before you pay the rest, before you finish payment. Because there are properties that are owned by so many people. The titles are all. So they say, go and put something. Put something. Fence the place. Put a toilet. Do something. Let people know you are beginning to take possession. So that if there is another owner, they will do what? They'll show up. And then you will not pay the rest. No. Jesus paid for the plot. So what I need to do is I'm no longer focused on my enemies. I am focused on the presence of the Lord. My greatest desire, every day I wake up, I say, Lord, let me be so much aware of your presence. Your presence. Your presence is the thing that changes everything. I don't want to go fighting people in traffic. I don't want to go, somebody says something, I think they are coming after me. Walikuwa wananitafuta. What do you mean they are walikuwa wananitafuta? Then they are looking for Jesus. Let Jesus handle it. He is in you, you are in him. So why are you so worried? Can you imagine what they called me? Don't worry. Jesus can handle it. Don't worry about the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the whateverites they are. God is powerful enough to deal with your enemies. Somebody say amen. Amen. And so, as we are looking at this inheritance, I want us to look at Isaiah 43 verse 16 and verse 18 and 19. Isaiah 43. This is in the NLT version. I am the Lord who opened a way through the waters, making a dry path through the sea. But forget all that. It is nothing compared to what I'm going to do. Praise the Lord. Can we read this verse 19 together? For I am about to do something new. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For I'm about to do what? Something new. See, I have already begun. Do you not see it? I'll make a pathway through the wilderness. I'll create rivers in the dry wasteland. So I'm telling you, it doesn't matter what has happened in 2024 so far. You are getting into the final quarter of this year, and you should get there in style, saying, I am possessing my double. It doesn't matter what has happened. Doesn't matter what failed. Doesn't matter who died. Doesn't matter what. It doesn't matter. I am setting my mind that God is able to do something new in this last quarter of this year, 2024. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's go to Hebrews 3. I want to emphasize on this new thing. Hebrews 3, 1 to 3. Therefore, holy brethren, who are the holy brethren? It's you and me, all right? Partakers of the heavenly calling. You are a partaker of the heavenly inheritance, actually. All right? Consider who? The apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses also was faithful in all his house. For this one has been counted what? Worthy of more glory than Moses. Now, go to chapter 7, verse 22 of Hebrews. It says, by so much more, Jesus has become what? A surety of a better covenant. So here's the point. God is doing something new. Amen. Our mind tried to figure out how new is this new thing. And we ran into opposition because our brain, like was ministered during tithes and offering, we've had all these limitations. Now, to Israel, if you go back to Isaiah 43, God is saying, guys, you saw the Red Sea part. Can you imagine how powerful that was? Pharaoh is chasing them. Ahead of them is the Red Sea. And they are turning back to Moses saying, hey, boss, what did you say again? Where are we supposed to go? You brought us here to be wiped out by Pharaoh. Either you are wiped out by Pharaoh or you are drowning. And Moses lifted his rod and the sea parted. So Moses was very big to Israel. Actually, the greatest problem Jews had with Jesus was Moses told us. Moses told us. Moses told us. They were accusing him that, come on, we have a greater guy. He's called Moses. And Jesus, the Bible tells us, Moses was ministering in the order of Levitical priesthood. Because him and Caleb were brothers. They came from Levi. Jesus was ministering after the order of who? Melchizedek. A different order. You know, a class prefect has some powers. Do you all agree? A class prefect can put your name down, hand it over to the teacher, you get into trouble. They have some powers, isn't it? Is it valid power? Yes. The teacher appointed them. That is their order. But the teacher is at a higher order. A teacher can override what the class prefect said. Is that correct? It's not that the prefect was wrong, but now we are coming to what? A higher order. What about the school principal? That is it. Where this school is concerned, that guy says it, that is what. So what is that? A higher order. So we are aware of certain things because we've seen that level. But tell your neighbor, God is doing something new. It's a new order, a new dimension. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Because Moses parted the sea. So that they could what? Walk through. Do you know what Jesus did? Jesus just stepped on the water and walked on the water. Hallelujah. I like that. I mean, it's good to see the sea part. But let's walk on water, boy. Moses gave them manna. All right? He got water from a rock. But you know, Jesus just lifted the fish and the bread, said, Father, I'm so thankful for this. Serve the people. No struggle, nothing. Nothing like every day you have to wake up, go look for manna. I don't know, you are catching the quails as they are flying. You are chasing quails and catch. No. Jesus is at a higher order. Just relax. Just sit where you are. We'll serve you where you are. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's a new order. It's a new order. He's coming at a higher level. Praise the Lord. Say, I can see it now. I'm ready for new things. A new level. A new level. Praise the Lord. Because the dimension the Lord is talking about is new. You've not seen it. And so these guys had a problem trying to conceptualize. What is Jesus talking about? The Red Sea parted. But here comes the man who can walk on water. Praise the Lord. Now, you know, it's good to own a boat like Peter, right? Maybe you have a boat, right? It's good to own a boat, okay? It's if you're a fisherman, a boat is a good thing, right? Come on, John, do you agree? If you're a fisherman, you have a boat, you made some progress here. You can get another boat and, you hire more, whatever. You increase this business. Things are looking up. Isn't it? Isn't Mwaura? You can set this water kiosk here and then another one somewhere. We like that, isn't it? But what if you knew the owner of the sea and the fish in the sea? That's a different game. They went fishing. They caught nothing. The owner of the sea and the fish came, said, it's okay, just throw your net there. This is a new, come on. It's a new dimension. You got to get committed. I will listen to the voice of the Lord, because he is making a path where there was no way. And in a way that even if you ask anybody, they can't help you, because they haven't seen it either. So you got to go to the Lord to see these new dimensions. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let me show you a bit of that in Matthew 11:28. Pastor Davis ministered on this. He said, come to me, all you who labor and are what? Heavy laden, and I'll give you what? Rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. Praise the Lord. He's saying you don't need to struggle. You don't need to struggle. I can handle this. Now, look at, let me see which scripture I'm looking for. Look at Matthew 17:27. You got it? Oh yeah, it's already there. Nevertheless, lest we offend them, go to the sea, cast in a hook, and take the fish that comes up first. And when you have opened its mouth, you'll find a piece of money. Take that and give it to them for me and you. These guys had tax arrears. And KRA refused to waive the penalty and the previous whatever. They came to Jesus. I'm paraphrasing. They came to Jesus and Peter said, they asked Peter, don't you guys pay taxes? Because we are KRA. We'll fix you. Peter came to Jesus. Jesus said, don't worry about that. Just go to the sea. Cast in a hook. The fish you catch, it will have enough what? Money for you and for me. Can it get any easier? I mean, talking about come to me. All you who labor and are what? Heavy laden. I'll show you how to do things easily. Praise the Lord. Jesus is so precious to us. I wish we spent time considering Jesus. Church, that is our greatest. You are issued with a tax demand, you run crazy. You are issued with a landlord's demand or whatever, you run all over. A friend, an acquaintance, I know the guy quite well. He knows people in this city. So one time I bumped into him and he said, Francis, I said, give me 30 minutes. I mean, just bumped into each other. Let me finish something, I come see you. So I did what I did, then I went to see him. He said, all fear has left my life. That's what his opening statement. He said, what has happened to you now? He said, I have no fear. Whether the lawyers call or the auctioneers or the bank itself, I am telling them I have no money. And I have realized I am no longer fearful. I am a free man. I said, man, all these people, he talks, you know, he's a cheerful guy. When you talk to him, he'll name people, big names. I said, these names you keep naming, why can't they help you with these things? He told me, listen, you know, they have helped my wife, they helped my daughter, they helped my family, but I am not going to. I'm trying everything I can. And so I haven't spoken to him since the current changes in politics and all that, because I saw him after the elections in 2022. That was in August. I met him in October. I met him. He looked so, I said, man, what happened to you? Have you been unwell, sick? What happened? I mean, he looked in bad shape. He looked at me. He said, what do you mean, what have I have been? He said, fine, you look bad. What happened to you? He said, it's not just me. It's the whole country. I said, whole country? What are you talking about? He said, can't you remember what they did to Raila? I said, my friend, please get a hold of yourself. I mean, oh my goodness. So I haven't spoken to him since these later decisions. I'm sure he's doing. But I'm like, where are you going with all this stuff? And the Lord reminded me after that, you don't know all these people that he knows. But you know what? I know God. And God knows people. So people call me. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's better to know God than Raira. It's better to know God than the president. I'm not saying don't know these things, but don't depend on those networks so much that you no longer consider Jesus. He is the greatest. Praise the Lord. You got to have this mindset. If Jesus cannot help me, if the Holy Spirit cannot fight this battle, then I don't want to fight it. Praise the Lord. And that will bring you a lot of peace and directions. Glory to God. Let's go back to Exodus 23:24. We go to verse 24 and 26 now. It says, you shall not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do according to their works, but you shall utterly overthrow them and completely break down their sacred pillars. You shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water, and I'll take sickness away from the midst of you. So this is beginning to actually contextualize and bring into reality what is your inheritance. Praise the Lord. It's saying part of this is your provision. Part of your inheritance is redemption and deliverance from what? Sickness and diseases. Right? Let's go to verse 26. No one shall what? Suffer miscarriage or be barren in your land. I'll fulfill the number of your days. So what I'm saying is that in this remaining part of the year 2024, you will be productive. Amen. Praise the Lord. That you'll see results. That what you've been investing in is time to start harvesting. That every day you wake up and say, I am fruitful, I am productive. I refuse the devil to cause an abortion in my life. My dreams will not be aborted. The purposes of God of my life shall not be aborted. I will see new things being born in my life. Praise the Lord. So, this is your inheritance. This is a thing that God wants us to get into. Let's have there. Let me stick this so that I can go. Let's go to Isaiah 45, verse 1 and 2. Now you remember this. Thus says the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have held, to subdue nations before him and loose the armor of kings. Now, you need to tell your neighbor, if a heathen king can walk like this, and I am a child of God, then the gates will not be shut in my life. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. If the anointing will work for a heathen king, why can't it work for you, my brother? Why can it not work for you, my sister? You see, we make these things look so difficult. This is a heathen king, Cyrus. He's a Syrian. The Iranians, I think they are. I'm not too sure. But those Iranians and Iraqis. And God is saying, I've anointed this fellow. And the gates shall not be shut. If I had a man of God saying, if heathens are walking around in good health, what's wrong with you, my brother? Praise the Lord. People who don't know God are walking in great things. So let's not excuse ourselves. Praise the Lord. Now, I want you to relate this scripture to Acts 12. We read verse 5 and verse 10. Acts 12. This is what happened to Peter. So Peter was kept in prison, but, read that, but what? Fervent and persistent prayer for him was being made to God by the church. What was the church doing? Praying fervently for Peter. Now, verse 10, when they had passed the first guard and the second, they came to what? What did God tell Cyrus? The gate shall not what? Be shut. Now, in the book of Acts, we find a disciple. He had been locked up in prison, but the church is praying for him. And what happens? They came to the gate that leads into the city, and then, let's read it together, of its own accord, it is swung open for them. I prophesy that over your life this coming season, that the gate shall not be what? Shut. They will start swinging open. Can I add something else here? Peter was not praying. Somebody was praying for him. So this anointing will lose your cursing. This anointing will lose your uncle. This anointing will lose your sister. This anointing will lose your brother. Don't give up on anyone. Don't have an excuse of why you are not praying fervently for someone. Just go before God and intercede for people and believe for breakthroughs. Because you have the double anointing. You start saying, that gate shall not be shut. My brother shall be free. My sister shall be free. My parents shall be free. My cousins shall be free. You got to get up. I told you, you have an inheritance. Jesus is the way. And there are some practical things that you got to start doing to start possessing your inheritance. It's not just for you. It's for everyone around you. Praise the Lord. Now, let's go and see. This is repeated twice because you go now to Acts chapter, is it chapter 16, verse 17? Yes, verse 25. But at midnight, let's read it together. Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And then suddenly, praise the Lord, suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately, what happened? All the doors were opened, and everyone's chains were loosed. Hallelujah! If you tell me you have all these problems, what I need to do is visit your neighborhood at midnight and come near your door or your window and listen to what is going on inside there. Because these people, praise the Lord, they were praying and singing to the Lord. They were not having nightmares. They were not waking up complaining. They were singing hymns to God. And all the doors, how many doors were open? Let's go back to that scripture. It says what? And immediately, how many? All the doors were open. Praise the Lord. The anointing of the double is for 100 things. They could not get out of that place except for a miracle. And because they were not just sleeping, they were doing something, God moved in and they could possess their freedom. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. If Satan has his way, he'll keep you and me locked in failure, in bitterness, in debt, in pain, in turmoil, and all that kind of a thing. But as a child of God, there is more. There is more. There is more in quantity and quality. There's more. Jesus' order brings more in terms of greater quantity and superior quality. Praise the Lord. As we are coming to a, let's look at Mark 11, 22 to 24. This scripture was shared the other Sunday. It says, and Jesus, replying, said to them, have faith in God constantly. Truly I tell you, Whoever says to this mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt at all in his heart, but believes that what he says will take place, it will be done for him. Praise the Lord. For this reason, I'm telling you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe, trust, and be confident that it is granted to you and you will get it. I'm emphasizing there are some practical steps you are going to take. You are going to commit more into prayer. You are going to commit more into the Word of God. You are going to commit more into what you are saying. You are going to commit more into praise and worship. Why? These are practical things that bring me to my inheritance. Praise the Lord. And another scripture is James chapter 5, verse 16, in the Amplified Classic Version, says, confess to one another, therefore, your faults, your slips, your false steps, your offenses, your sins, and pray also for one another, that you may be healed and restored to a spiritual tone of mind and heart. The earnest, let's read that together, the earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. It will get you your inheritance. The inheritance is not for easy people. Inheritance is not for this who will not make any effort. Let me give you an example. My dad passed on years ago. I checked the unclaimed assets register. I saw his name there. I told my siblings, so excited. We started putting things together. Do you know, some things we are pursuing and all this, but and I don't want to think you to think bad of my siblings, but this process has been going on for too long. In fact, last week I got another notification from the court that the thing is coming up for hearing. And it's because some of my siblings won't sign the form. I say, boss, why don't you sign the form? We finish with this thing. Do you know, I discovered there was, my sister told me, there's a title deed in the house. I went to the village, said, guys, there's a title deed, can I have it? They said, what is the title deed? How does it look like? I told them, this is the example. They said, it is not here. Several months later, they tell me, there's a document that has been found. Maybe this is what you are looking for. Said, send it to me. See, this is the title. Been looking for it for a long time. And I went back to the lawyer. So the court process is still going on. And he said, we need to add this, but have you seen the land? Because it's one thing to see, have the title, but have you located physically the land? And I tell my brothers, man, let's pray, let's go. No, you know, everybody's busy their thing. And I'm like, guys, it's our inheritance. So this has been going on and on for years. Is it my dad's mistake? And until we do the paperwork, and until all those assets are traced, and until everyone signs the relevant forms, that inheritance, there are squatters maybe on that. I don't know. We haven't even been there. So our inheritance in God can be like that, but not anymore. I'm talking to a people who from today are going for the hard stuff. And saying, I will possess it because Jesus paid too much for me to remain where I am. Jesus paid too much for me to remain sick. I went to a couple of weeks ago, like a month ago. I had a meeting somewhere. I remembered somebody had told me they're in a hospital nearby. So I finished the meeting. I asked them, are you still in hospital? They said, yeah. So I passed by there. Intending to pray for them, share the word with them. I don't know them so well. So I go there and they tell me, actually, God is teaching me something through this sickness. I was about to say something. Then the Lord arrested me. I don't know this person so well. I've met them only a couple of times. So I wanted to say that I kept quiet. I said, Lord, help me. Then we talked about something. And then I mentioned it, that there are people, there's nothing like a student who is not willing to learn. You know, that's a bad. You are a student who is in school, paying school fees, and they are trying everything not to learn. They are trying to get out of the lesson. This person, we got so excited. I told them, it's amazing. It's amazing. People can use a lot of money, you know, a lot of time, energy, and they don't want to learn. Because if God is teaching somebody something through sickness and disease, what are all these medicine for? Why spend so much money on the medicine? Why spend so much time being taken to theaters and all that? If you are a bad student, boy, I mean, you want to learn, just cooperate, suffer. They laughed, and then it hit them. He's talking about me. Said, don't sit here trying to get healed, and at the same time, you are saying God is teaching you a lesson. Sickness and disease is not your inheritance. He says, I'll take away what? Sickness from amidst you. So it's not in your boundaries. Praise the Lord. So don't, as I said, don't use reasonable and varied excuses, not excuses, reasons, as a hiding place for unbelief. Just start acknowledging all that God has done for you. My final scripture here, Psalms 103, verse 2 to 5. You can rise up on your feet as we read this. Hallelujah. This is your boundaries. This is your package in a couple of verses here. Let's read it together. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Number one, forgives all my iniquities. Number two, heals all my diseases. Number three, redeems my life from destruction. Number four, who crowns me with loving kindness and tender mercies. Number five, who satisfies my mouth with good things, so that my youth is renewed like the eagle. Give him a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Father, I want to thank you for your word that has gone forth this afternoon. That starting from today, there are major adjustments in everyone who has heard this word. That not only has weariness left their lives, but they are purposefully moving to possess their inheritance. Father, I'm trusting in your ability to turn the way we have seen things so far. That we can say, in the challenges that we face, we see our treasure in Christ Jesus. The Lord, our boundaries, our lines have fallen in present places, and we have a good inheritance. Father, where there is anyone here who has given up, who had quit, thank you for a fresh starting in their lives. That they will not fall short of the grace of God. That they will take this world and fight the good fight of faith. And they will come back here and testify that the things they have seen, things are beginning to turn around. We thank you, Father, that you are not just changing our personal lives, you are changing the circumstances around our families. You are changing the circumstances around our businesses. You are changing the circumstances around our neighborhoods. You are changing the circumstances around our workplaces. That gates are swinging open in the name of Jesus. That, Lord, we are reaching levels that only by your grace could we get there. Father, I judge that spirit of quitting. I judge that pressure of the enemy, that false testimony, those incitement of the enemy to go after the cheap, to go after the alternatives. That today our hearts are purified to seek the truth of the Word of God and pursue it and believe you for supernatural outcomes where our lives are concerned. And we give you all the glory, all the praise, and all the honor in Jesus' precious name. And everybody says, amen and amen.